Chapter 8. Shoe Scuffing. We step inside a huge room with stone walls and a stone floor. But it's not like any fairy tale room we've seen before. There are disco balls flashing, music blasting from a DJ stand, and a table with a punch bowl, silver goblets, and snacks. There's also an enormous dance floor, and a ton of people of all ages are dancing. Everyone is wearing colorful outfits. It's a big party. Like my cousin's bar mitzvah, but bigger. And underground. It's amazing. And kind of intimidating. Jonah and I stand in a corner out of the way, so no one bumps into us. I keep the invisibility cloak tight around us. I glance up at the stone wall. A huge tapestry is hung that reads, DRP, Dance Resistance Party. Kingdom of Dues Dancers Unite. Tap, jazz, hip-hop, modern, freestyle, funky chicken. All dances welcome here.
Oh, Jonah, I get what this is.
Is it a bar mitzvah? He responds.
No, we're at a resistance party for dance.
What?
He asks, scrunching up his face. I think about how to explain it. King LePere outlawed all dance except ballet, right? So a group of people who want to do other kinds of dancing must have started the resistance. They're resisting the law. And so they created a secret dance hall. Everyone can dance however they want here.
So here I can do the robot dance? Jonah asks.
I guess. Jonah starts to move his arms like a robot under the cloak. He almost punches me in the nose.
Oops, sorry, he says.
Maybe being bad at dancing is a trait we share. Anyway, I need to focus on the princesses. I briefly lost sight of them when Jonah and I walked inside, but now I spot all 12 of them in the center of the dance floor. They're all laughing and dancing, and acting very differently from how they behaved, stiff and formal, at the breakfast table with their father this morning. I watch Terry, the princess we met, the one who likes gymnastics and has a secret crush. Her dance style is almost acrobatic. Lots of jumps and even a cartwheel. Princess One is doing an old-fashioned-looking dance that I think is called the Charleston. She's wearing a sleeveless dress with black fringes swinging from the hem. Princess Seven, wearing a purple dress embroidered with little stars, is dancing with another girl in the crowd. I think they're doing a tango. Some people are slow dancing. Some are dancing super fast. Some are break dancing. And a bunch of girls are tap dancing, including Twyla. She has a huge smile on her face. Princess Four starts a conga line, and all 12 princesses join in, holding onto the hips of the person in front of them and kicking their legs out to the side. No wonder their shoes get so worn down. But I have to admit, it looks like they're having a blast. I think about my school dance again, but then I push the thought away. The DJ plays all different kinds of music. Rock, pop, hip-hop, country, Broadway show tunes. The next song that comes on is one of my favorites. I start tapping my foot to the music.
You should go dance, Jonah says. Without the cloak, I mean. No one will know that you don't belong. There are a ton of people here.
I stop tapping my foot. No, no way. I shake my head. Doesn't Jonah remember the incident? Before I can remind him, he lets out a yawn, then another. It is definitely past his bedtime. Why don't you go rest under the refreshment table? I say, pointing. The table has a long gold tablecloth that reaches the floor, so he'll be hidden and safe there. I'll keep the cloak and go look for the proof we need. Jonah yawns again.
Good plan, but let's have a snack first.
It's true that we haven't eaten anything since our donuts this morning. We hurry over to the table and sneak some punch and chips under the cloak. Then we crawl under the table and take off the cloak. Jonah lies down on his belly. In 2 seconds, he's out cold. How he can sleep when the music is so loud is beyond me. I pull the cloak over me and slip out from under the table. I gaze around the crowded room, wondering what I could take as proof. Princess Four is now singing at the top of her lungs to the song playing. Ellie and Twyla are dancing together, bumping hips and giggling. Terry is looking around the room with a hopeful expression. I wonder if she's hoping her secret crush will show up here. Suddenly, the music stops. I hear groans. A few people call out, "It can't be 3 o'clock already." "Sorry, folks," the DJ announces from his booth. "It is 3 a.m., but we'll see you again tomorrow night at the DRP, Dance Resistance Party." I watch as the crowd begins to disperse. The princesses start saying goodbye to their friends. There are hugs and cries of, "See you tomorrow." And then the princesses head for the stone doorway that leads to the boats. It's time to go, but I don't have the proof yet. I need something that will show the king where the princesses were. I look all around. What can I take? I need something easy to carry. My gaze stops on the refreshment table. The silver goblets! They each have the letters DRP stamped on them. Yes! Perfect! I grab one goblet and hurry back under the table. Jonah is still sleeping. I shake him awake. He sits up and rubs his eyes.
"That was an awesome nap," he says.
"Time to head back. Look," I say, holding out the goblet. "I have the proof we need. Our plan is working." Jonah bites his lip.
"Oh, I guess that's good."
"Right," I say. I can tell he's still worried that Prince will want to leave with Mary Rose when she regains her powers. But we don't have time to discuss that now. The boats are about to leave. If they do, we'll be stranded here. With the cloak secure around us, Jonah and I rush out of the dance hall. The princess's boats are just starting to pull out. Oh no! Jonah and I hurry toward Ellie and Twyla's boat. It's not easy getting into a boat while holding an invisibility cloak over you and carrying a goblet. As we step inside, the boat wobbles. "Twyla!" Ellie snaps. "Careful!"
"It wasn't me," Twyla insists.
I grab the edge of the boat to steady myself, and the silver goblet falls out of my hand and right into the water. No! What do I do? What do I do? Jonah crouches like he's about to jump in the water to get the goblet, but I grab his hoodie and hold him back. Did he not see the crocodiles? And Twyla and Ellie are already rowing the boat. We're on our way back to the castle. Without the proof. I watch the goblet float farther and farther from us. Crumbs. Double crumbs. Triple crumbs. I take a deep breath and look at my watch. Okay, it's 3 o'clock a.m. here, which means it's a little after 2:30 a.m. at home. We still have another night. The prince will just have to come back tomorrow and get the proof. He can do it. We can do it. I know we can. As they row, Ellie and Twyla talk about how much fun they had at the dance. I try to listen, but it's hard to focus. I'm so annoyed at myself for dropping the goblet. Why was I so clumsy? It was almost as bad as the incident. Thank goodness I didn't try to dance tonight. I could have accidentally burned down the whole place or something. The boats arrive back at the riverbank, and the princesses get out. Under our cloak, Jonah and I watch as the princesses run past the row of trees and into the castle. Then Jonah and I hurry over to where the secret entrance is.
I want to push the button, Jonah says.
Of course he does. Go ahead, I say.
He grins, but then his smile fades. He stares at the outside of the castle.
Abby? Where's the button?
I look all over. I don't see it either. Oh, no. What happens if we can't find it? We'll be stuck outside all night.
I step really close, my nose practically touching the stone. My nose bumps into something.
There, I say. Now I see it. A tiny button, the same color as the stones.
Jonah pushes it, and the door slides open. Once we're inside, he finds the button to close the door, and we rush up the steps to the trapdoor. Princesses 1 and 2 are at the top of the steps. As they go up into the bedroom, we dart in too, right before 1 closes the trapdoor.
Whew! We made it.
Like last night, the princesses take off their scuffed, worn-down shoes as they talk and laugh about the party. I notice Princesses 1 and 2 leaving the bedroom. I nudge Jonah, and we follow them to see what they're up to.
Whose shoe is that?
Princess 2 asks, glancing back at us. I freeze and look down. Jonah's foot isn't under the cloak. It's out in the open, and they can see it. I poke him and point to his sneaker.
Oops,
he mouths and pulls his foot back under.
Two people sharing one invisibility cloak is not ideal.
Princess 2 blinks.
I must be seeing things.
Careful not to let our feet show, Jonah and I follow Princesses 1 and 2 into the hallway. They stop and look down at the sleeping prince.
He's snoring loudly, his face smushed against the table. Princesses 1 and 2 smile and high-five each other.
Terry comes into the hallway and stares at Prince Jean. She sighs and shakes her head, then goes back into the bedroom with her sisters. I sigh too. Prince Jean has no idea how important he is. Tomorrow night, he'll stay awake, follow the princesses, take a goblet for proof, not drop it in the moat, and then everything will fall into place. He'll tell the king what he saw, get the crown, and give us the ruby. The plan has to work. Mary Rose's fairy powers depend on it.